If you have been around for the past few weeks, I've been trying to emphasize on the importance of destiny, to awaken you to the importance of destiny and the role that you have to play on the face of this earth. And for the past few weeks, the emphasis has been that we need you to wake up, take your place, stand up. Praise the Lord. That has been the emphasis over the past few weeks. And I was ministering in a very unorthodox way. But today I want to go back to the roots. Praise the Lord. We're going to touch something that I think is extremely, extremely spiritual, that you shouldn't allow your mind to waver. Because even I myself, there are things that I hesitate to minister because of the depth of their spirituality. Praise the living God. I hesitate. So, may the grace of the Lord be with me and with you also. As always, praise the living God. And so, we've been ministering on destiny. And today, I want to take you back to the origin of your destiny. The origin, where all this stuff comes from. Because the past few weeks I've been telling you, you can do it. Last week, actually, we focused on three major areas, if I'm to summarize, that you need to learn to honor who you are. Honoring who you are has a lot to do with your identity in the moment, and that there are actually degrees of who you are at every level in life. And if you don't understand it, you realize that a lot of things that we do on the face of this earth are birthed from the spirit. And so if someone goes to university, once they finish the 3, 4, 5 years course, they get a degree. And there's a reason it is called that. It's because there's a version of you that has changed. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Yes. There's a reason why they call a place a university. Its origin. Okay? Uni meaning one, varsity coming from French, very one truth. Okay? Though it has lost its way as time has gone on. So everything has its origin from the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. Amen. And your destiny has an origin. I want to take you into something. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Oh. Okay. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Verse 2. The next verse. Saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, I've highlighted on this before in the past, but now I want to dwell on it. I want to dwell on it. These things of destiny have an origin. It's not just random. There's a difference between fate and destiny. Destiny means you have an actual choice. Fate means you have no choice. Okay? God is a God of destiny, not a God of fate. In this scripture, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, there's an introduction of one of the most mysterious things that there is in the Bible that people struggle to understand. That actually, when you come onto this earth, you come onto this earth, if you're a human being, with a star. Now, I want to dwell on this. You come onto this earth with a star. There is no human being who does not come onto the face of this earth with a star. And we see from this verse, verse 2, that these wise men coming from the east, these magi, had the capacity, number one, to see this star, number two, to interpret whose it was, and number three, to determine the purpose of the person. Amen. Just by looking at the star. Amen. Okay? And by that, we can also agree that there are people on the face of this earth, by virtue of having honed their perceptive gifts, they can look at individuals and be able to look at their star. Yes? Many of you have heard this before, but we shall see how far we can go with this. And so, in the Bible, the element of stars is actually backed up continuously. Because God, when he appears to Abraham, he says, your descendants shall be as many as the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore. The implication, therefore, is that every individual that is a descendant of Abraham is a star. We see in Scripture that Joseph has a dream and 11 stars, the sun and the moon, are bowing before him. The implication, therefore, is that his brothers were the stars. Okay? And it also implies that Joseph was something else, and it had to be something greater because they were bowing down to it. Amen. Are you understanding me? Which implies then that there are individuals on the face of this earth who what they have upon them is more than just a star. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Are you with me? Okay, so the Bible does back it up continuously. It does seem to show us that the individuals on the face of this earth, every individual when they are born, they come onto the face of this earth with a star. Now, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, because this is very important in laying a foundation where we're going to go. We often spend a lot of time calling the people that we admire or the people that the world looks at as superstars. We call them stars. The implication being that they have captured something that some of us have not captured. The idea is that there is no one on the face of this earth who is not a star. It's just that there are different degrees of light and glory. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, don't go there, Daniel is summing up the book, and he says that those who are wise shall shine bright like the firmament in the sky. Then he says, and those who win many to righteousness shall be like the stars forever and ever. He is not being allegorical. Okay? Now, you think you know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 1:14, I want to take you back to the foundation. The Bible says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. The understanding of this scripture is that the reason why God put the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky is not just for days, not just for years, but for signs and for seasons. The word there, seasons, implying appointed moments. You with me so far? Okay? So, the sun, moon, and stars, for example, people on the face of this earth use the sun, moon, and stars and constellations to be able to determine specific festivals. The Muslims will use the moon to determine their festivals. Okay? The Jews will use the sun and the moon to determine their festivals. Actually, take me to Numbers chapter 9, verse 2. Numbers 9 and verse 2. Numbers 9, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. So it was not just randomly set up. When God gave a season, he gave a festival, it had an appointed time. Listen to me, child of God. There's an appointed time for things to happen on the planet. There's an appointed time for things to happen for nations. And there's an appointed time for things to happen for you. And those things, whether you know it or not, can actually be determined by looking at things in the sky. I told you I'll be a bit hesitant. Eh? I'll be a bit hesitant. Right? So, God said in Genesis 1:14 that the sun, moon, and stars in the firmament will be for signs, for seasons, which means appointed times, and for days and years. That means it is not enough for you to perceive and think that those stars, that moon, and the sun are just for us to know when the year has. There are deep things that if you understood them, certain things would not catch you by surprise. Now, this is different from astrology, a certain type of astrology that is dark, where people actually, you know, they look at the stars and are able to predict events before they happen. Are you with me so far? Yes. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1, I told you what I'm ministering now. I'm going to need a lot of scripture because I have to back it up. I can't just say things. Eh? Matthew chapter 16 from verse 1. Then the Pharisees, these Pharisees come to Jesus, and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. So these guys show up, and they say, okay, Jesus, we want a sign from heaven. Verse 2, what does Jesus say? This is his response to their request, his answer. He answered and said to them. Now, what that means is that the answer has to be related to the question. Yes? He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be, give me KJV, it will bring out my point easier. KJV. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is what? Red. Next verse. Verse 3. Quick. And in the morning, the first one was evening. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Most of you don't understand what that means. Jesus is saying, the first time, he said, in the evening when you see the sky is red, you can tell that it's going to be good weather. But you see, even in the morning, the sky is also red. But they can tell it's going to be bad weather. Then he says, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Now, in relation to the question they asked, show us a sign from heaven. His answer is that you have an ability to see color in the sky and know that it's going to be good weather. At that level, they were spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? At that level, they had an ability. Imagine, today you can't do that. Someone is looking at the sky and by the color can interpret what the day is going to be like. And one day I'm going to dwell on colors at a certain point and show you that there is actually an importance for colors. Their colors, if you wear them at particular moments, can attract and open anything you want. Okay. I told you, I'm a bit hesitant. Eh? So these guys, just by color, can determine that the weather is going to be fine. Okay? And not just at some point in the day, the whole day, by looking at it red. And the same red, they can look at it and know that the weather is going to be foul. Then Jesus says, you're hypocrites. Now his point is that you've reached a point where you can look at colors in the sky and discern what's going to happen in the day. But you've not gone further to discern what those signs mean in the spirit in relation to me. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so what he was telling them in relation to their question, can you show us a sign from heaven? What he was saying was that there was already a sign. You tell me when we're not on the same page, eh? I'm going somewhere. If I reach you, it will bless you greatly. Because I felt a release to share this. Eh? That's why I wanted a quiet room. Eh? But it is okay. You're paying attention, eh? Okay? So, we understand then that Jesus is saying here that there is something within the firmaments, within heaven, the second heaven, just by looking at it, even the first, the sky, that you can discern things that are going to happen. And by it, you can be able to allocate specific appointments of God just by looking. Amen. That's why the Magi were able to see a star in the sky, spiritual or not, and I'll get to that, and be able to discern that something is happening. And the same Pharisees and Sadducees were in the same place and failed to discern. Yet they can tell that it's going to be good weather and bad weather. But they can't tell that the king is born. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. And so, there are things in the spirit. There are things in the spirit. Give me Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Okay? All things are created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Oh, that does not mean what many people think it means. Most people think it's implying that in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, and so the visible things are the things on earth and the invisible things are the things in heaven. But you and I both know that on earth there are invisible things. And so I want to lay it to you that this scripture is saying, in him all things were created that are in heaven and that on earth. Two categories. Then it says visible and invisible. There are visible things on earth and invisible things on earth. There are visible things in heaven and invisible things as well.
Amen.
And he says, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. This is a hierarchy in the spirit. I can't, if I dwelt on it, we'll be here forever. But ideally, who sits on a throne? So this is referring to elements in the spirit called kings. Dominions are referring to elements in the spirit called lords. Principalities, princes, and so on. Okay? I don't want to go into, I'll be tempted to wander off. And so he's saying, thrones, there are thrones in the spirit where there are kings. And there are dominions in the spirit where there are lords. And in the same on earth, there are people sitting on thrones and they are kings. There are also people sitting on thrones. They're sitting in areas that he calls dominions that are lords. They don't have the authority as much as the kings, but they have a place where they're ruling. And they can be both on earth, they can be both believers and non-believers. Just like in the spirit, you can have both demonic and angelic.
Amen. Amen.
So there are demonic thrones and there are angelic thrones.
Amen.
There are demonic dominions, there are angelic dominions. You're with me so far?
Yes.
Okay? All things were created through him and for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What this scripture is saying is that everything that you see in the physical realm is temporal in nature. It is not temporal because of what it was made of. It is temporal because of the realm it is in. It is in the realm of time. When something is permanent, it's not permanent because of what it is made of. It is permanent because of the realm it is in. It is in the eternal realm. The idea in scripture is that everything physical that is created has a higher reality that it came from. That's why the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God's word, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that do appear. So when you look at a tree, behind the tree there is a higher reality. Let me start with you. Because the Bible says we no longer regard men according to the flesh. When you look at me, you're looking at my body, but inside me is a higher reality.
Amen.
Now, that higher reality is what we call the spirit. The same is true, and people don't understand this, that the same is actually true for things on earth that are created. Because the rule on earth is this. When God created the earth, he created the physical realm. He separated it from the invisible realm. So anything that has to enter the physical realm must have body. If it has to have influence in the physical realm, it must carry body. That's why you have one. But it's not just only about you. Even a tree, what you see is the physical part of it. But there is a spirit of a tree. It's different from the spirit of a human being because ours comes from God. I need you to understand what I'm saying. I need you. If what I was saying was not true, why would Jesus then be speaking to a tree? Why then would he say, if people stop praising, even the stones themselves? You see, I need you to understand that God never created non-living things. Everything had an inherent life. It has its higher reality. Amen. That's why when Jesus walked to that tree, we see that we know that he's not just talking to the object. He knows there's a life in it because he expresses emotions that naturally should have been expressed to a human being. He expresses disappointment, not to the disciples, to the tree. He expresses anger, not to the disciples, to the tree. It is actually the secret behind how certain things can happen and how you can use elements. You see, on the face of this earth, there are four major elements. I've taught this before, but there are actually more, but we focus on the four. The four meaning, if you've watched Avatar, okay? So, wind. Huh? Okay, fine. Air, fire, earth, and water. Those are the four major ones. There are others. There are many more elements. Sound is an element. Light is an element. Words are an element. We'll go on forever. And I need you to understand that in relation to these four major elements, when God created man, he put all those four elements into man. So he made him out of the earth so that man can be able to influence earth. He put inside of him breath, that's air. Then put in him fire. The Bible that says the spirit of a man is the candle. Then there's water inside of him. By virtue of that, that's the reason why we see specific people in the Bible able to operate in certain ways over certain elements because they are made of them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? Because man is made from them. I could show you, according to the face, you see what you call, I have to make sure I don't lose my trail of thought. What you call stars in the heavens, most science would refer to them as bodies in the heavens or in the outer space or the sky or wherever that actually emit natural light. So a satellite cannot be a star. You with me? Yeah. Science would roughly define stars like that. But in the Bible, and specifically for the Hebrews, stars, planets were also included as stars. It's not just the burning elements, but planets were also included. That's why when you look through the Bible, you won't see any planet named. They fall within the category of stars in heaven. Are you with me so far? When you look at that star, like I've told you, everything that exists in the physical has its higher reality. When you look at that star, what you see is a star. But beyond perception, behind that star is its reality. Not only is its reality, its spiritual reality, it also has a spirit being. Amen. Revelation 19 and verse 17. Let me take you. Let's talk about the sun. When you look at the sun, all you see is the sun. Yeah? A bright sun. That sun has a spiritual element to it and a being in it. Then I saw an angel standing in. Now, I'm trying to show you. I saw an angel. That's the first element we're talking about. You see here? Fire. Here there's a sun and there's an angel standing inside it. Now, all you've been seeing is the physical sun. This is not random. For everything God created in the physical, it has its spiritual side and also its spiritual being that influences it. For example, human beings, you have a spirit inside of you, and I'm going to get to it and I'll show you that there are also beings that play a role to try to influence you. The same is true of everything created in the natural. It has its spiritual side and a being that is influencing it. So in the element here, and I'm going to show you. So Revelation 19, 17 shows that. It says, you can see clearly. I hope we can all see. Yeah? Yeah. Huh? We can all see that there's an angel standing in. Take me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. And I had the angel of the what? I'm trying to show you every element. I could go on. I'm trying to show you every element. Actually, give me the NIV. Give me the NIV of that. I had the angel in charge of the waters. I'm trying to tell you, children of God, water is not just water. Amen. And just like there's an angelic side of it, there's a demonic side of it. Why do you think certain people will fight tooth and nail to come to the source of the Nile? Meanwhile, for you, you're just going, hey, we have to go to Bujagali, what? The guy knows exactly what he's doing and where he's getting what he's getting. It's for the reason like this. I could show you that even when it comes to wind, you look through scripture, the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, God sent out angels that were four corners of the earth and they were supposed to stop the wind. Those are angels of the element of wind. Amen. Hey, yeah, yeah. I thought I was already deep. I'm going to drive this back to what we call destiny soon, eh? If you feel I'm wandering off. But I'm trying to show you. So even earth has, I won't dwell on that. So every element has actually an angelic being. It's for that reason why. When you see Joshua saying, sun, stand still, he's not speaking to the physical sun. It's the ability to communicate with the being behind the thing. When you see Elisha saying, go to the water, the Jordan, and cleanse yourself, he has had encounter with the being in charge. Now, every water body that we see here on earth, I'm telling you, you know, some of these things are hard to teach. But good thing I'm using scripture. Some of these things are hard to teach. I'm telling you, one time I taught you how. There was a guy called Imhotep who used to heal, and he would speak to the plant and say, which part of the body can you heal? Because he's not speaking to the plant, he's speaking to the spirit behind it. And again, I emphasize that the spirit that these things have is different from the spirit that a human being has, because ours is straight from God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay? So you're made of all these elements. And having understood, this is why I'll show you later, the importance of having the ability to discern and speak to beings will determine your effectiveness here on earth, even when it comes to things like finances. Okay, I'm going to skip a lot of things. Huh? Okay, first drink some water. Are you with me, children of God?
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say here is that what you think are just heavenly bodies are actually entities behind them. They actually are. And I want you to realize without a shadow of a doubt that when people said they used to worship the sun, there was a demonic element in the sun that presented itself as a god. I know what I'm talking about. And any man who has gone into the spirit had the ability to encounter some of these things. Some of you have. You will know what I'm telling you is true. But let me wrap that up so that I can go to the destiny element. Then we pray. You see, I've laid a foundation as brief as I can. There are many things in there. I've laid a foundation to try to show you that this that we see in the spirit, this that we see in the heaven, these heavenly bodies, these stars that you see, they have a spirit behind them. And I'm trying to show you that the day that you were born, a star appeared. And I'm going to show you, by scripture, going to show you that the day that you come onto the face of the earth, there's a difference between conception and birth. There's a difference. I'm going to show it to you. When you're conceived, the egg meets the sperm and they are fertilized. That's conception. Okay? Then there is birth, which is a totally different thing. And I'm trying to show you the origin of destiny. When the egg meets the sperm, when the two meet, in the spirit, your star begins to form. But it is not yet in the physical. It is formed before God in the spirit. Now, I need to emphasize something. The spirit has whispered it to me. Before you came onto this earth, you existed. That's very important. It is actually very scriptural. Psalms 102 and verse 18. Psalms 102 and verse 18. Psalms 102, verse 18. I didn't give it to you, so you just look for it. Eh? Psalms 102. This will be written for the generation to come, that people yet to be created may praise the Lord. How can people yet to be created praise the Lord? Amen. The scripture is there. It's not me, eh? Huh? You existed before you actually came on this earth. Now you know it, but I'm giving you scriptures that back it. Psalms 87, verse 5 to 6. Psalms 87, verse 5 to 6. And of Zion it will be said, you know what Zion is? For you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. It says, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. Verse 6. Verse 6. The Lord will record, it has gone off, when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. Amen. I want you to understand. You existed in the spirit before you came. Now, yes, you existed in the spirit before you came, but you did not have a star yet. The star implies destiny in the realm of time. Right now, in the spirit, there are beings. Because did he not say to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. I knew you. Okay? So in the spirit right now, there are in the heavenlies before God, there are beings wanting to come onto earth. What I'm telling you is true. Wanting to come onto earth. And you see, the thing is that not only do they want, the day that you were going to be conceived, you not only agreed, you saw the purpose. Your path was shown, who you would marry, what your destiny was supposed to be, and you jumped for joy and said, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm telling you. Give me Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. I'm not just going to say things for the sake of saying things. Eh? After this, Job opened his mouth and cast the day of what? He curses the day of his birth. Next verse. Next verse. And Job spoke and said, verse 3. I want you to move with me. Eh? Huh? May the day perish on which I was born. So he's referring to a day of birth. And the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. The two are different. There was a night of conception and a day of birth. Can I continue?
Yes.
Now, the reason why this is extremely important is because if you read it again, may the day perish on which I was born. Job, by the Spirit, is cursing the day in which he was birthed into the physical. But he also knows that there was a night in which he was conceived. In the natural, we don't know the day we are conceived. Actually, about 3-4 weeks later, that's when you find out I'm pregnant. Huh? But this chap is saying that there is a night in which he was conceived. Now, not only that, he's saying, and the night in which it was said. So someone spoke. You tell me when to stop, eh? Someone spoke there and said, a male child is conceived. Let me tell you, anyone who has a child here, it was said for every child, female child has been conceived. Are you with me? Now remember I said that in the spirit you said, here I am, Lord, send me. I've shown you that you existed in the spirit. Because of time, I can't dwell on trying to express so many scriptures to show that. You need something to study. But when you said, here I am, you were shown your purpose. You agreed. Amen. You agreed. And you see, when you agreed, then you were sent. When you were sent, the conception, though it was a night of conception. It's different from the day of birth. Very different. And I'll show you that actually what we think is actually incubation of 9 months is not actually so. Because if you look through scripture, the Bible says that God tells Abraham, he says, by this time next year, you shall have a child. That means those are 12 months, not 9. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. I don't want to. He says, by this, it doesn't make sense. By this time next year, you shall have a child. Those are 12, not 9. And I don't want to go into it. But the 9 months, they are actually 3 other months. And something happens during those 3 months. These 9 months are from what we call conception. There are 3 months before that. I'm not going to put this up on YouTube. I'll be eaten up for life. But that I'm telling you is true. And so, Job here says, so he decides this, he knows, I don't know how he knew it. This is a spiritual man. He knows that there was a night in which he was conceived and a day in which he was birthed. Let's go on, verse 4. We're going to read on until I think we reach like 14 or something. May that day be darkness. So now he's referring to the day of birth, because the night of the conception is a night, it's not a day. He says, may that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. Verse 5. Verse 5. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. This guy was really pissed. Eh? May a cloud set on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. He's still talking about the day. Go on. Verse 6. I want you to move faster. All that thing is slow. As for that night, now he has gone to the day of the night of conception. May darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Go on. Oh, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout come into it. Now I want you to understand that what he's saying here is that the night of conception, someone shouted for joy. It can't have been the mother, because the mother does not know that she has conceived. Ay, 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 ay. Is this too much? The mother doesn't know. So he says, may no joyful shout come into it. By revelation, he knows there was a shout during conception. In other words, you said, here I am, send me. You sent a seed. The sperm and the egg meet. You are sent there. I don't have time to show you the trajectory of a soul from that time until you come out. That will take us some time. But now what happens is that you enter in, and there is in the heavens, there is a shout of joy, not over birth, over conception. Go on, verse 8. Time can run. May those curse it who curse the day. Who is he talking about? I want to show you these words. I'm telling you, Job is this book of Job. May those curse it who curse the day. Those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. Verse 9. We're going to go quick. I'm very time conscious. May the stars of its morning be dark. Now, what he's saying here is that there were actually stars of that morning. Eh? And he's saying, may they be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day. Now, the day here is referring to is the day of birth. So he's saying, in summary, may that night of conception not see the dawning of day. In other words, May that conception not see birth. Now, I want you to understand that in the natural realm, for us, in the natural, the process from conception to birth is 9 months. In the spirit, it is 2 days, night and day. It's actually not 2 days, 24 hours. Oh, yes. Today. Are there doctors here? Because I think I've just stepped on some toes. In the spirit, he's talking about a night. Let's read. Let's go on. Verse 10. Because he did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. 11. Going up to around 14, 15. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? 12. I'm skipping a lot of things. Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breasts that I should nurse? 14. 13. For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. Go on. With kings and counselors of the earth, who built ruins for themselves. This is tempting me, but let's move on. Verse 15. Or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Actually, go on. 16, 17. I'll see. Or why was I not hidden like the stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? Now, I want you to understand something. This is extremely important. When you understand this, you will know why abortion, you will know the effect of abortion in the spirit realm. If you understand what I'm saying, that you said, let me go. There was a shout of joy for you going. Your purpose was shown. And I'm going to show you in scripture that actually, in Acts chapter 2 verse 23, you can take us there. Acts chapter 2 verse 23, the Bible talks about what they refer to as the predeterminate counsel of God. The predeterminate counsel of God. That predeterminate counsel of God, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Give me KJV. It will bring it out better for my explanation. And being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So here's what happens. You are in the spirit. You say, send me. There is a determinate counsel that approves your purpose. Hear me, child of God. You are sent. You are conceived. The moment that you are conceived, there is a shout of joy. By who? Whenever there is birth, the Bible says in Job chapter 38. Take me Job chapter 38. Verse 6 to 7. Is it? He said, where were you? The scripture I'm looking. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Go on, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So there's a category of beings called morning stars. Their job, at that point that Job is talking about, where there was a shout, when there was conception, this is what is happening. Now, I want to show you that there are actually three categories of birth, of rejoicing when it comes to birth. The first is conception. The second is birth. When you're born, there are shouts of joy. The third is when you give your life to Christ. I'm about to wind up. It's when you give your life to Christ. And there is a council. Council consisting of morning stars and sons of joy. Now, this scripture here specifically is referring to the earth. Because God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The scripture that we have been reading implies that in the night, during the night, there's conception. During the day, there is birth. We see the same pattern. Do you know that the earth was born? The earth that we know it, it was born. Why? I don't have time for it. But the earth is covered by water. The Bible says there was darkness over the earth. And God then said, let there be light. The earth comes out. He separates water from land, separates it. And that's why he says there, Who laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang, it's a birth process. Something new is coming up. And the sons of God shouted for joy. That's referring to the earth. But it happens when you get conceived. And then it happens when you are born. Then it happens when you give your life to Christ Jesus. Because Jesus himself said it, the angels in heaven rejoice. That's why if you look through scripture, I want to show you that when Mary is told that that holy thing within me shall be called the Son of God, she conceives by the Spirit of God. Then the Bible says she goes to see Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. And there is a joy by the baby when there is conception. Because the seed was planted inside Mary, and the baby in Elizabeth could see it or feel it or perceive it. Because by nature, conception is rejoiced. Now, and so, here's what happens. Here's what happens to you. The day that cancer sits before it, there are morning stars, the sons of God. You say, you are shown your purpose, you agree to come. You are sent as a seed inside the belly of a woman. There's rejoicing. Along with it, an angel is assigned. When an angel is assigned, please understand, your guardian angel did not just randomly decide to be one. The angel is specifically assigned for your particular purpose. That means his skills are particular. I need you to understand what I'm saying. The highest place you can get with your walk with that being is to know that, one of the highest is to know the name of that being. When you know that name, you've entered a new level of relationship in terms of fulfilling destiny. This is the reason why I emphasize to you that while last week I was mentioning people, and I really started simple so that I could lay a foundation for today. Well, we go to the spirit and you realize that nothing is happening per happenstance. Nothing. Everything is being orchestrated by the Spirit for a reason. And so this angel is sent to be with you, everyone who's a human being. The devil also assigns some good thing. But we won't dwell on that one. Okay? So this angel walks with you. It is an honor for this angelic being to be attached to you. It's an honor to the angel. I want you to understand. An honor to the angel. If there are so many milestones along this path of life that every time you hit one, in the spirit there's rejoicing. Every time you hit one. So for example, you get born again, there's rejoicing. When you discover your call, an assignment, there is rejoicing. Remember, this angel is walking with you, whether you know or not, does things whether you know or not. And so there's a place I have learned that when you continue to walk deeper into your assignment and call, there's a transition not only to have a guardian angel, a morning star is attached. I know what I'm talking about. A morning star, which is different from a guardian angel, is of a higher rank, very different. You enter a certain realm of assignment. And that morning star, and I'm going to show it to you in scripture, I'm not just saying things. That morning star is attached to you. When you continue to walk with God, there are people who, when they transition beyond, they go deeper into their assignment, they get more than just a morning star. They attach dominions, principalities. That's why a man can be a principality. Revelation chapter 2, I believe it's verse 26. I really have to wind up. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give what? Power over the nations. Next verse. Amen. What does he then say? Next verse. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the pot. No. Is this? Yeah, like the potter's vessels. as I also have received from my Father. Go on, 28. I will give him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Eh? For a person who then overcomes, you don't just get a guardian angel. You receive a morning star. Which some of you, as you have been reading here, you think maybe it's some sort of present. I'm sure some of you. It is actually a being. Actually a being. Different from guardian. Which implies then a certain level of authority over this earth. Now, please understand that in the realms of media, in the realms of fashion, in the realms of business, all these categories of beings are there. Amen. They are there. So you receive a morning star after having been faithful to your assignment. I know without a shadow of a doubt, do you know that the moment that you're conceived, and I told you that in the natural it's 9 months, but in the spirit it is not so, eh? It's not seen like that. And the day that you are birthed onto earth, that star, when you are conceived, is formed in the spirit, but not yet in the natural. When you are birthed, it's then its natural element that comes into existence. So what you're seeing in the stars there are actually beings on earth. I would show you that actually whenever there's a shooting star, it does not imply what you think it implies. People make wishes, what? Oh my God. No, you need to learn spiritual things. Eh? Huh? It's actually an implication that somewhere on the face of this earth, someone either fell away from their destiny or died. I think I should end here. I thought you were ready. We shall go back to baby things. Eh? What I'm telling you is absolutely true. I'm telling you it's true. And so your star begins to shine, just like Jesus' star. Eh? I would show you. There's a scripture. Let me look for it. It's a lovely scripture that, give me a second, because I'm winding up anyway. Okay, Revelation 22:16, because I want to show you that Jesus himself did not circumvent this process. I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Amen. Because he was on earth in the physical, he had one. Amen. I'm telling you, my angel to testify. Now, here's what happens. At every milestone, there is not only singing, there is testifying. And you see, you don't know. You don't know. You're just one. You don't know. There is a testimony. And he's saying, I'll set my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, what happened was that Jesus, when he finished his element, he didn't receive a morning star. He became the bright. Now, when a person is faithful in their call and travel along this path faithfully, you know, because the scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. How are they ordered? There is a being right next to you. This is how ranks are determined in the realm of the spirit. Because one of the ways they're determined is by the beings that people have. There's someone you can live on this earth, die with only your guardian angel. Because it's based on how far you walk into your assignment. And yet, there's a morning star somewhere just waiting to be attached. The privilege, if you read Rick Joyner's book, When God Walked the Earth. And he talks about angels in far planets that long to come to this earth. This is a small thing. Long to come to it. And so Jesus now, as I summarize, is the bright and morning star. And when you have fulfilled, this is where the elements of gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble come in, based on the milestones that you hit. And so when you have gone far into your assignment, now angels don't testify of you. Jesus gives the testimony. There are people on the face of this earth, because they were so mighty with their walk with God, when they die, and I'm talking about mighty men and women of God, when they die, something happens in the heavens. Jesus alone, as mighty as he was, when he died, when he gave up the ghost, the stars removed their light, the sun removed its light, there was an earthquake. It doesn't just happen for Jesus, it's about might in the realm of the spirit. People who are finished with a shout. And the heavens accord honor. No, I'm very time conscious. Eh? I want to show you John chapter 1 verse 12. Eh? 12 to 13. John chapter 1 verse 12. I'll show you that there are things in this world that are extremely strange. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed in his name. Okay? You've got that. Next verse. Verse 13. This is what it says. Who are born? Listen. There are those born of blood. But here, because he's implying salvation, he's saying who are born not of blood, nor of the will of man. There are those born of the will of man. No, this is the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. So there are three categories. Then, but of God. He's talking about salvation here. So there are people born of God. There are those born of blood, born of the will of the flesh, and there are those born of the will of man. Today, man, I think I should just have a teaching class now. Just sit and we go step by step so you can ask questions. Because I can see the questions. Eh? So what's this talking about? What on earth is it talking about? The implication here... And because of time, I'm not going to dwell on it. Eh? But I need you to know that when a person, for example, is born of the will of the flesh, two people by passion can come together. Amen. Yeah. By passion. And please, I want pure passion. So in a moment of a thing, thing just caught you. Eh? And there's a conception. Okay? Please understand that these do not mean that it's outside the control of God. It's just trying to categorize the aspects. So someone is born of the will of the flesh. When those two come together by passion, here's what happens. When a lady gives birth, there is a due appointed time of giving birth. That appointed time, the body can naturally know. Like people can just look and say, it is time. Alright? There is also an ability for man, by his will, to determine the day of birth. Nowadays, we call it caesarean or something. So you can just say, I want my child to be born on this particular date. Eh? And maybe they cut it, or you can even hold on. Whatever. That's what is referring to as the will of man here. You're deciding by yourself a particular day. Now, here's why this is so important. There could be an appointed day in which you were supposed to be born. Eh? And due to things like this, the day is distorted. That distortion does not deter destiny, but it affects how you start. Please understand that I'm using scripture the best that I can. That there are things on this earth, God could have appointed elements for you. That's why the enemy is very keen. I know most of the dark world spends time sitting around hospitals. Fact. Just waiting to see who is it that has been born. One day we shall talk about, because you see, the thing is that the moment that you come on this earth, and you're conceived and you go through that process until your birth, inside your earth, inside your star that represents you, both in, it's there in the physical, but it has a spiritual side. Inside it is encoded the boundaries of your habitation, where you are supposed to be birthed. Acts chapter 17 said that he determined the boundaries of our habitation. Acts 17, 26. So you were born in Kampala, Uganda. I know you wanted Manhattan. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. So he determines their boundaries. Your star has that. Your star also has the giftings that you're supposed to come with. Whether, for example, you'll be an apostle, a prophet, or all that is inside it. Now, I have to wind this up. When it's the last statement also. When you have people who can discern, especially at birth, and say, this child, this is their destiny. Those days they used to do that. Nowadays, people just come with flowers and say, so cute. I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt that these things, these names that are given, some of them, they can't stop. Destiny can't be stopped. But it can be. They are like roadblocks. Things like names, things like really. That's why, if you look through scripture, God doesn't take chance with people who are important. Amen. You shall name him John. I don't allow you to start. Now, you see the relatives of John. For them, they had already planned. This name is not in our what? Huh? Very unspiritual chaps. He comes and says, Mary, you shall name him Jesus. There is no chance. But some people, of course, they can allow you, we allow you, eh? I promise that at certain point, we'll talk about names in the spirit and the name that you'll get and how to identify it. Because, you see, all this will make you effective and efficient on the face of this earth. Praise the living God. Amen. You are a star. Huh? Paul, speaking in Corinthians, said, for there is the glory of the moon, the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and glory of the stars, and each of them differ in glory. When a star is shining, its glory, other stars bow down to it, if its glory is brighter. That's why I think it's important to start teaching you things like meditation, eh? Not the one of the world, eh? But actual meditation that can change things. Eh? When I give nuggets, I just give highlights, just 1 minute. But we take you through a proper teaching element of meditation so that you can know how powerful you are. Amen. Money is made from trees. Eh? Huh? And trees have a spirit. Eh? And if they have a spirit, you can submit it to you. At varying degrees, depending on the authority you have. Eh? Varying degrees. That's why some people can call $100,000, others $1 million, others... Huh? We shall have part two. Praise the Lord. Eh? I've stopped haphazardly, but I want to end with Daniel 12:3, the scripture that I mentioned earlier. That those who will shine like the stars, eh? Forever and ever. And you see, the thing is, the dark world, when they look at you, eh? They see it. They see it. If you knew that all of us were born with certain advantages, eh? The best way I can explain it is that there are categories. There are those who, no matter what, if they ever attempted to travel, doors will open. And it's actually a category of people. Amen. They have it by default. Then there are those who have to instigate it or receive it from someone. Amen. Because no matter what they do, they get denied. And so someone comes and says, the door for travel opens up to you. There are people, without a shadow of a doubt, who just have a grace for people to just get attracted to them. And you think it's their personality and you what, but it's just their categories of people, all given an advantage for the purpose of their call. When you realize it, you know how to position yourself. You will know what you are graced for and what you have to engage. You will know. You will know when to look for a man of God and when to say, "Chintu nchirina." Do you know someone can say, "Nchirina," in the... They don't have it, eh? I'm telling you deep, deep spiritual truths. Deep spiritual truths. Until at a point where you sit on a throne. The Bible says that Jesus was raised far above every principality and throne. Actually, it says every... What, look for that scripture for me. What scripture is that? Look for it for me, and I'll end on that. He was raised far above. What verse is that? You guys who? Please tell us, deep guys. Do you know that when we pick out someone to prophesy, we pick things that are over you? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Now, what the scripture is saying, the scripture I read for you first said that the hierarchy is that there are thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Here is saying that when Jesus was resurrected, he went far above principality, power, might, dominion. But it doesn't mention thrones. Why? Because thrones is where kings sit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so his is the highest throne there is. Now, there are thrones there. You know, the Bible talks about elders lay down their crowns. They're sitting on something. When a person, you see, we easily say, "Hey, I'm going to sit on my throne." Case. You know, I wish... You don't sit on your throne hypothetically. I don't know. Okay. You can say it by faith. To him that overcomes, it is a process. And then you reach and you sit and a crown is given unto you. And say, rule. Not everyone is going to rule. You know these chaps who, when they're about to die, say, "Jesus, forgive me my sins." And because they said it with all their heart, you just, you know, when something is going to cut you and you just, and so they enter. And because the reward system is based on faithfulness, overcoming, you can't, what reward are you getting? You just, salvation. That's why I'm telling you, guys, in your business world, in your fashion, in your what, there are secrets. Oh, if you knew. There are secrets. And once you get serious with where you want to go and how ardent you are to get there, your dreams start taking the shape. There are different types of dreams. They're what we call destiny dreams. They're different from random dreams. Joseph had a destiny dream. And so you need Rabbi to come and tell you, URA is not all there is. Meanwhile, you're believing God for just promotion to the next level where they're going to add maybe 1 M. And yet the God that you serve is bigger than 1 M. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? Yes. Man, I've over talked. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you know that John the Baptist, partially knew who he was. Partially. Because when they came to him, they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I'm not." They asked him, "Are you that prophet?" He says, "No." But then in Matthew 11, Jesus says, if you're willing to believe it, in other words, it's a hard thing. John is Elijah. Now, John, when they asked him, "Who are you?" The question they asked him is, "What do you say of yourself?" Now that's an important question you need to ask yourself, Chado. What do you say of yourself? Huh? And so he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye a way for the Lord. He quotes Isaiah. Somehow John the Baptist had read through Isaiah and identified himself, but had not gone to Malachi. Elijah shall come. Are you telling me? And so he knew a portion, but did not know the other. And so Jesus says, if you're willing to believe it, he is Elijah. The principle there is that there are things about yourself you do not know that someone higher can reveal. Amen. You know, your man of God was not supposed to be the only person, who is exalted. Because you are kings and priests. Huh? That's why when I love Chronicles of Narnia, you reach the spirit realm and you realize you are Tina the Great, Fiona the Marvelous, Barbara the Excellent, Derek the Musical. Anyway, when you go to sleep at night, I want you to understand that the dark world is determined to ensure that you do not move on to the next level of your glory. We shall talk about how people don't know what actually their spirit, the spirit inside of them, looks like. It has a color. No, we're ending. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because if we behold him with open face, we shall be changed from glory to glory. We shall be changed into his image from glory to glory, which is the ultimate end of purpose. The end of purpose is not for you to be a great musician. It's to be a great musician conformed to the image of God, so that when they see you, they see Christ. That is the end of purpose. The end of purpose is not even sitting on a throne. It is to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. That is the end of it. As you behold him with open face, you are changed into his image from glory to glory. That is the end of it. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.